This is a recording of a conversation with Edith Foster Goddard at her home on South Main Street in Hanover in 1965.
Okay, now, where were you born, Peg?
Hanover, New Hampshire, up where Mrs. Strong lives.
Up on the Reservoir Road.
Yeah, Reservoir Road.
Yeah. How long did you live up there?
I can't tell you, but we bought the Box property, and we owned both places for a long time.
Mm-hmm. That's the stone house.
Yes,
that's the joiners are in
there. Yes, the stone house that the joiners are living in.
Now, you told me once about watching the Dewey sisters go up past your house.
That was over on the where Mrs. Strong lives, up by that Houston place, they called it.
How many Dewey girls were there?
There was two that went by right along, and once in a while, the third one would go up with them. Mm. And
they were all unmarried sisters?
Yes, all unmarried sisters, and they had the bonnets on and long dresses, and they had a stick, and they'd drive the sheep up and turn them to pasture.
And they lived up where the new medical school
yes,
where the
yes,
new medical school
yes,
is now?
The new medical school.
And they drive the sheep all the way up
yes,
past, all up the Reservoir Road every day? Or?
Oh, no, they bring them up in the latter part of the spring for the season, for
mm-hmm.
the summer season. They owned the pasture land up there where a lot of those houses are built now.
I see. Mm-hmm.
The Dewey pasture.
What were the Dewey girls' names? Remember?
Mary and Ellen, I remember, and I don't remember the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Mary and Ellen. They were the ones that usually did the farm work like that,
mm-hmm.
doing things around.
What else did they have for farming? And
well,
cows?
They had some cows, and they kept one man now and then to carry on and cut the hay. My father used to cut hay for them sometimes and get it in for them. They did their own garden work and that sort of thing.
And they wore sunbonnets?
Sunbonnets and very long dresses buttoned all the way down the front. Mm-hmm. Came way down.
It must have been something to walk all the way up that.
Well, they were pretty smart now, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
They carried right on.
And they all lived to be quite old.
Yes, they were quite old. I don't know how old, but they were very old.
Mm-hmm. And how often did you come to town when you lived up there in the Reservoir Road?
I guess I didn't get down very often alone when I was a little kid then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we moved over to the stone house
mm-hmm.
and kept that place for quite a while. And the man that worked for us, he and his family lived there and just come back and forth through the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to school from the stone house, had a horse, used to drive it down.
What school did you go to?
School over on, it isn't School Street, it's out
yeah.
the end of Allen's Lane there.
Oh, yeah.
The Downing place and so forth. There's a schoolhouse there, a brick building. We went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
And then over where the little places at the top of River Hill was a kindergarten school,
mm-hmm.
like.
Well, Stockbridge.
Yes, Stockbridge. Mm-hmm. Called Frank went to school there, didn't you, Frank?
I believe so.
I think you did. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're the same story. You come
yeah.
in too.
Oh, no. You're back to water then.
You can tell her anything you probably don't
know. Oh, no,
things
no,
I know.
No, no,
oh,
Marty.
We love to listen.
I think you got the better man right up the bat now.
What do you remember about Dr. Frost?
He was a very peculiar man, a very smart doctor, and wasn't afraid to state things as he thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very much interested in lambs at one time, sheep. And he used to come up to the farm to see the sheep. And he had one that used to follow him all around the hospital when he was making his rounds.
Did he really?
Yeah. And his father used to come up to the Strong place, the Houston place where we lived, and his wife, Sunday afternoons, and call on my father and mother. And he was a very spruce man and had a nice white horse that was fat as could be in a carriage, and he and his wife were both just as dressed as could be. Such a difference from
mm-hmm.
Dr. Frost, you know.
Was Dr. Frost's father a doctor?
Yes, he was a
doctor.
Frost used to be our doctor at that time, Grandpa Frost
mm-hmm.
was, and then Dr. Frost, Dr. Gill, was our doctor. And then when Dr. Guile come on, he took over. That was the way of it. Dr. Gill wasn't much like his father.
Mm-hmm.
He never was as spruce and
didn't care about how he looked.
But his father was a very spruce man, and almost every Sunday afternoon he and his wife would drive up and call on mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
And they came, I guess I better not tell you this. I don't want this to go on the
I'll real. Turn it off if you want. Put it on
forever. Oh, go on. Anything the matter with that Charles Long? I never forget that.
Do you remember the Christy Warden murder? What do you remember?
We were living at the Stone House at the time, and my father was sheriff. And it was a beautiful moonlight night. And we heard the shooting, or my father and mother did, but they didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon our doorbell rang. And it was
John Warden.
And he wanted father to come right over to us. And
mm-hmm.
father got up and dressed and went over with him. And he told father what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we kids were frightened, you know, to finish.
How old was John at that time?
Well, he was just a young fellow, mm-hmm. a tall young boy in school. And father went over and they got Christy's body home. And there wasn't much they could do that night. And, you know, Elmy came right back up through the run from the hollow there, and he was in the barn and see them bring her body in to the house.
In the Warden barn there?
Yes, in the Warden barn, and he stayed there until they got him, caught him there. And he used to go out and steal flowers out of gardens and take them down and put on her grave.
Mm-hmm.
And one night he went into the house, and it was a terribly hot night, and Father Warden was sleeping on a couch in the hallway. It was so hot. And he went along and he even put his hand on him and got out, and Father Warden never woke up. And then one time, Father had Mother and Frank and I, he'd driven over there for something in the wagon, and the next day he got a note through the mail telling how he'd seen us there.
Really?
Yes. And Elmy was a real spruce, nice fellow to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to the Warden's and play a lot. And he would take and put me on the horse's back when our coal teams came up from the village at night. And I'd ride on the horse's back. Of course, the men were driving them, but I'd
mm-hmm.
get on there and ride home. And he'd put, go out and take pains to put me on so I could ride home on him.
Mm-hmm.
And after they got him, Father had to stay at the inn, it was the Wheelock House then, and got him, broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked Father if he could see Todd. They called me Todd, he
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm.
And Gustus and Emma went down to the inn with me so I could go up, and took me upstairs. And I went in, of course I was a little kid, but I can remember it just as plain as could be. He reached out and put his hand on my head. And he says, Tot, I hope the good Lord will never have anything happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma and Augustus went on downstairs ahead of me, and I had to work my way down alone. I was just frightened to finish it. But he was a nice appearing chap, and he used to come and play cards with some of the men that worked for us. And those men had been to school with him, but they didn't recognize him.
But was he using another name? Didn't he have a different name?
George Abbott, mm-hmm. and he went with the name of Frank Elmy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a good...
And this is because he'd gotten into some kind of trouble before.
Yes, when he was a boy, he lived with some family, I guess up Union Village or Thetford Way somewhere, and he got to stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about his family, whether he was left an orphan boy and lived with this Union Village or Thedman family at the time, he wasn't their son,
I know.
And then he came to the Wardens to work. I don't blame him entirely. Christy was quite fond of him,
mm-hmm.
and he was very nice, and he used to go to the Grange, walk down to the Grange from there with him, and made a lot of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decided she didn't want anything more to do with him. And he left, he quit for the Wardens and went down country somewhere. And then he came back, and Christy and her mother and Fanny and Eloise Goodell at Kemp House for a Mr. Flint that lived down this side of them went to the Grange meeting, and they all walked, and they used to walk home in this beautiful moonlight night. And when they got out into the hall there, why, we called it the Dewey Hall, and he stepped out and said to Christy, "I want to talk with you," and took her by the arm. And of course, the rest of the women panicked him. And he started walking up the brook with her. And I guess it was Fanny, followed him up there pretty close, and he told her to stand back, that he wanted to talk with Christy. And there was a scuffle of some kind, and his revolver went off and killed Christy. I don't think, really, at the time that he meant to do it. I think if they'd kept quiet, why, come out, yeah, all right, because he thought a great deal of them.
And how long was it before they found him in the barn after this?
Why, I can't tell you, know anything about it, Frank. It was several weeks, and they found him. There was a fellow worked for the wardens. He was a tramp that came along, and the wardens hired him. And this tramp took things into him.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't.
So he knew he was there.
Yeah, he knew he was there. And they found where he. They watched the place one night, and they see him come out the milk can to get some milk, and go back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they surrounded the barn that morning. And Father was up in Canada. They thought they'd got him up there. And they sent Father up to identify him. And he was crawling from one part of the barn into another part. And Hewitt, that married this Fanny, shot him, broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And they took him right down to the Wheelock house. I remember we were sitting out in our yard and watching over there. And they put him in a small one-horse hay rack that they had there. Mm-hmm. And they run that horse, the dust flew and so forth down the road there, you know. Mm-hmm. And they run the horse right through to the Wheelock house. And there was some policeman stayed until Father got back. They telegraphed Father to come right back. And he used to stay the days there with him, watching over him. That was the way of that.
Somewhere I saw a gruesome picture of him after he had, I guess it must have been after he was hanged. He was on exhibition at the inn, and is this right? And people filed through and...
Well, I don't remember anything about that.
Well, I may be wrong.
No. But, as I say, it was a very wrong thing for him to do, but on the other hand, I think Christy had encouraged him an awful lot, and it was about the, perhaps we might say, the only time and place that he'd had a chance to be at Ruth. Respected and treated like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very good fellow to talk with and pleasant and all those things.
He had mustache?
He did at one time, mm-hmm. and then I remember he shaved it off, I can't say. Of course, I was a little kid and remembered him in that light.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a well-spoken chap and good-looking chap. Of course, he shouldn't have done it or anything. I'm not standing up for him, but
there was a reason.
It worked up to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What did you do for entertainment when you lived on the farm in the Reservoir Road?
Well, we used to go out and see if we could see any woodchucks around. And we played around the barn, and we loved horses, and every chance we got, we'd ride a horse.
How many did you have?
I don't know how many horses we had then, but after we got over to the box place there, we had 15, 20 most of the
time. Did
you
really?
Mm-hmm. And I think I liked horses felt as well as any of them. Emma kind of liked them. She used to get out around with me. But there was always enough to do, and we used to slide, and then we had a little skating rink up there where the water had settled, and we used to skate on that.
Well, what did you have for sleds?
Oh, we had a Travis that we used to slide on the hill down towards the brook up on the Reservoir Road there, and then we had another sled, a little single sled the kids used to have, you know, slide on.
What for skates?
Oh, some that buckled across their toes and up around their ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Not very flashy ones. And then when we moved over to the vault place, we used to have crush sliding then, which we don't have now, hardly ever. And
the cardboard?
Yes, we used to slide on cardboard and shovels, and
the dish pan.
And then we had the bottom part of a traverse sleigh. It had the front part and the back part, and some of the men built a boarding over the top of it, and 18, 20 of us get on that and slide down the hill back of the barn over the field there, mm-hmm. and then pull it back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a spotted bronco, and we used to slide on the big hill, go up the top, come down on a traverse. And you know, she would follow us down, and we'd hit the traverse door, and she'd draw it back up for us. And she trotted right down the hill after us.
The original Tito.
Yes, every time we went down the hill. And we had the pond there at the stone house to skate on.
That's right.
Yes, it was a nice pond, and we used to skate on that, and a lot of the kids and boys and girls would come up from the village and skate there.
That's gone now, is it?
Well, they hadn't done anything for it, and it's mm-hmm. the weeds have grown in it and so mm-hmm. forth. It could be cleaned up, I suppose, because mm-hmm. there was a lot of springs in it, and it was the central part. They had a cement tile in there, and the water in that was all good. And when those houses were built down below us, the Trumans and so forth, they didn't have any water connection. The reservoir water didn't come to them then.
Mm-hmm.
And they hitched a pipe to that well, but they'd, it was fed with springs there and used that water. They were never given any right to it in any way, only just mm-hmm. give it to them, because
yeah.
we had plenty of water from off the hills yeah. back. And every Saturday we usually had a crowd there of kids. Harry used to come up
mm-hmm.
almost every Saturday,
yeah.
and we had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And we kids had never been where they made sugar. And the Dewey sisters had a lot of maple trees up on their pasture. And we kids kind of talked about having some maple syrup going up. And they told us we could tap the trees up there if we wanted to. So we used to go up there, and we'd stay up there all day, have a pair of horses up there to gather the sap with, and we'd cook eggs in the sap and have a regular picnic. And Harry and Martin Landrell would be up there, and Frank would be there, and we had the horses to drive. And then at night, long towards night, Father would come up and see that we got the sap all collected, and we used to take it down to the house and boil it down. Of course, we didn't have any great amount, and we took some down, I think 2 gallons of the Dewey sisters, and oh, how pleased they were. So that was my experience and Frank's experience in
sugaring. Did it really make the eggs sweeter?
Oh, no, I don't think it did. I wanted to, we carried eggs up to cook, you know,
yeah.
and have them. And we used to have them. I don't know what I've done. We bought it down there, all we could on the hill in an old pan.
Yeah, that match right out there.
Did you really?
Stones and chained up with sods and stovepipes up here. Worked out really nice. The sun came in there, one of the valleys.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Nash and Harry and Pendle Angel and Flanmore and come out.
And what, would they walk up from town?
Oh, yes.
Colin Wells.
Every Saturday. We had a houseful up there, and when the family would get through eating, the men and so forth, Mother would set the table up and call them all in and feed them.
Did you raise a lot of the food that you ate?
Yes, yes, we used to have a good garden and raised a lot of things. I was thinking
of you ever have cows?
Oh, we had a lot of cows. It was in the milk business.
Oh,
we
awesome.
Had the milk business and the coal business and the ice business.
Oh, well, that's what you mentioned, the coal trucks coming
yeah,
on.
Yes, we had those, all those.
And then your father was postmaster,
wasn't he? Yes, he was postmaster.
When was that?
Oh, don't ask me dates. Maybe I can't tell. I remember the dates, but he was postmaster.
Where was the post office when he was postmaster?
Well, it was just beyond the stairway that goes up beyond Putnam's
yeah.
store.
Mm-hmm.
Then choose to go up to Landrell's studio there, and the post office to the next place. And of course, I thought I owned the post office.
How about that time I'm employed?
Well, I guess that hadn't better go on there.
I guess Peggy kind of doesn't like it.
Well,
we were just discussing the ice gathering on the reservoir, cutting of ice on the
well,
reservoir.
Well, they used to. They had machines that they took with a horse, and there was cut knives that they would mark it out, you know, and get it so that they could go along with a pole iron and crack it. Then they'd poke that down to the sluiceway and run it into the ice house. And then the men would be there to place it in places.
This is the lower reservoir.
Yes, the lower reservoir, the first reservoir they ever had. And
was this a town project or privately owned?
Well, it was the town. Water company owned it.
Water company.
But my father had charged cutting the ice and peddling it.
I see.
And they used to have big ice carts. And they had one big cart that used to come to College Hall twice a day and fill their refrigerators there and took care of that. And there was a Foss family that lived over towards Etna. And there was a son, George Foss. Oh, he was a very heavy sort of fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't too much at home. And he used to come over and work on the ice when they were cutting. And he started out across the ice, and one of the men said, "Well, George, you'll break through that hole, and all you want just to hold him, and I'd be bumped if he didn't go in all over." The ice broke with him. Of course, there was no damage done. They got him out. But we used to have a big gang working up there.
How much did it cost to buy a 25-pound chunk of ice?
And I can't tell you, Phoebe. We had the big ice team that delivered to Thayer Hall or College Hall, rather, twice a day. And then we had some little one-horse ice rigs.
Because I can remember the ice car coming and going out and getting pieces after that were broken off. And
there we were with our gathering sack team.
Oh, yeah.
I am out there, Frank. And Harry's on here, and I think Pamela Angel.
And the dog.
Yeah. And there's another picture where we had team up there.
Not much snow.
No, not very much snow.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another picture. There's Fan Moen. There she is trying to get out of the fence. And Harry with
a
table
nice
sack.
Yes,
and that's Pamela Angel. That's Harry. And that's Frank there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who that boy is.
Colin Lowe.
The doctor. No, that's Frank.
Mm-hmm. Frank's a smaller son.
Who's Stubb?
What's that?
Stubb Foster. That's your Stubb.
Yeah, that's Stubb Foster.
Yeah. Well, then the way you have it written.
I didn't know it was written on it even.
Uncle Harry, then the smaller one is Davidson. And then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Frank.
And that is.
Is that Frank Davidson?
Yeah. And this was Martin Langell. Pebble Angel used to call
him. That's a nice picture.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He had a pail of sap there. Now you imagine what a gang my mother had to feed. And when we wasn't up on the hill, she'd set up a table for all us kids.
Isn't that fun?
Well, it certainly was fun. I've got a lot of old pictures there. Some of them I've forgotten who they are. But
did you? Was I dreaming that you mentioned sliding down this South Main Street?
Yes,
at one
ma'am.
Time on a sled.
This was called
Nigger Hill.
Nigger Hill. Yeah.
And up in the house that the Brissettes used to live in up here, that little
where
house.
The Gulf Station is now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was an old colored lady lived there, and she used to sell pastries.
Uh-huh.
And when we kids were out here sliding on the hill, she'd come out with a great big pan of cookies and
really?
Give us. And Harry used to say after he came here, "Live well, Peg, you and I live on Nigger Hill, don't we?" And the funny part of it was, Father Kelsey was in here the other day, and he was talking about who lived over here once. And I said, "Doc Storrs had the tinny house here." And he says, "Oh, Doc Storrs hospital." I said, "Oh, no, his father." And of course, Kelsey said he used to know quite a good many around here when he was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he knew the bookstore up here and so forth, but he hadn't got the true setup of the Storrs family.
You wouldn't want to slide down here?
No,
today.
No. And Will Smalley had a very nice Travis, a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come up on the hill with it. And we kids used to strive to get on that Travis because it was such a nice one.
How many would it hold?
About a dozen of us.
Is that right? Didn't you ever have a collision or?
No, not anywhere. We on the road want the traffic up and down here that used to be, you know. And if there was a sleigh coming up, why, they usually pull way outside the road and let us go by. And we'd go way down across the bridge there at the Mink Brook.
Yeah. That was a long walk back.
Yes. And sometimes it'd be a sled coming up with a pair of horses on it, and we'd tie onto that and they'd pull us up. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And that is honest truth. I don't think the children have a good time. We do.
I think you're right.
We used to have the best times, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I don't know, everything was so nice. All congenial and
civil.
Yes, and to think that the folks put themselves out for all those children. Mm-hmm. And they, why, we had, I don't know how many school children just come up on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty. And ride around the farm.
Yeah.
And so forth. But.
Tell us about the ski drawing.
Well, he and some of the kids that
lived. Leslie
Paws? Yes, in the hollow below us. Used to get out their skis, and one would ride the horse, and the other one would be have their fastenings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse would draw them up and down the hill and all around. And, oh, they had such fun with it. And then.
Was it very much skiing? Did you ski at all?
Yes, there's quite a lot of skiing mm-hmm. there. And a lot of us just had. Barrel stage.
We really did have barrel stage.
Oh,
right?
Yes, we did. And we had another
sure
thing that I don't see the children have today. We called it a scooter. It was a like a barrel stage and then had a seat on it.
Oh, yes.
And we'd get on that mm-hmm. and we'd go up the top of that hill and come down the hill on that. I don't know how, why, if anyone asked me to try it now, I'd think it was crazy. I don't know how they could keep the balance on it, but they'd go way through mm-hmm. the foot of the hill.
That's hard to imagine keeping your balance on a bicycle, I suppose. It's the same thing.
Well, here's something. I don't want you to put this on the top of the hill.
On a bicycle.
And come down with my feet up on the handlebars. And right into our dooryard, right through towards the strong place. There used to be a road right out through there into the field. Well, my father see me going. He let me finish my trip. When I came back, he says, you can put that bicycle to one side. You don't need to use it anymore. Well, I said, why? Well, he says, the idea of you're going up there and balancing the handlebars and steering it with your feet up over them. So I didn't ride bicycle for a little while. But those were the days.
Mm.
If the kids could only have those times now.